Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And oh boy, do we have an episode for you. I wonder if we'll talk about the election in the United States, but I do know we'll talk about how it impacts Canada. And then we're going to talk about what is happening with vote counting in BC.
All that and more on Unspun. Okay, so I was wrong.
You were kind of really right. I thought you were wronger. I thought you were way wrong, and I was wrongest. I was wrong. I don't know.
And my little buddy was wrong. So he was
right?
Devastated.
Alan
was
Lichtman,
him.
You let us down, Alan. We
Oh,
were
he's
like,
so,
I was.
Oh, he's a poor guy. I was watching him. He was so sad.
And, oh, now I always get his name wrong. The guy that always wears the baseball cap, Carville.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, haven't heard from him. So here I am. And I totally did not see this coming. I didn't. And not because I have a huge political bent. I just could not have imagined tens of millions of Americans thinking this was the best possible idea. I was wrong. And America voted and democracy reigns supreme. And now you get Donald Trump and you get to see if all of his promises come to fruition. And, you know, for the sake of the United States, I hope so.
Yeah, it's well, he said he was going to build a wall and he built 20 kilometers of it that basically gave a lot of his friends cash. It's a new kind of administration. He's got a much more organization than he did last time. He obviously ran a good campaign. I think it came down to this issue of pocketbook politics, right? He understood
sure.
That you can spend a bill, you know, as a marketing person. I said this actually at a meeting I just came from. You can spend $1 billion on ads, but if you don't understand what your audience wants, it's not going to resonate. It's not going to convert to sales. And Donald Trump understood what his customer wanted and sold that product, which was you, even if it wasn't true, but if it wasn't true, he understood what they were upset about, which was their, you know, inflation, their pocketbook. Which is a term I hate, pocketbook, but it's like 1845, my pocketbook. And then crime, really. I mean, the fact that and the whole, you know, borders closing, all that stuff's really related to
I was just going to say, you and I in America, I'm sitting in America right now. And let me tell you, you wouldn't even know there was an election here in Southern California where I'm sitting right now. You literally would not know. I've traveled on election day. I've been to the Target. I've been to the Trader Joe's, obviously, because I'm setting up for my little mini vacay. And nobody. Maybe it's because it's all Canadians down here, but the degree to which people in my hometown, so Metro Vancouver, Vancouver proper, versus Palm Springs, Canadians are way more concerned and might I even say more knowledgeable about U.S. politics, which I find both shocking and at the moment quite relieving because I'm exhausted. I don't know. Are you exhausted by this? I'm exhausted.
100%. Not even looking at news. I've consumed a little bit of media for the purpose of this podcast, but I kind of taking a break. There are a couple things that I kind of that have come out. You know, so Alan Lichtman's going to do his. It's Thursday. He's going to do his podcast tonight. His live with his son. He does this. It's a good. You know, they do a little good. They were live on election night, and I was kind of flipping between that and all the regular TV stations and you know, as and he's 77 years old, so by you know midnight he's in the East Coast. It was 3 in the morning and he was like literally like and you could see he was devastated. I think, you know, and we talked about this, and he's got this thing called keys. I kind of always thought there was a couple of the keys that I thought were strange. The one was like incumbency, right? And I've heard a lot about that since Donald Trump won. Who was the real incumbent here? Was it Trump or was it Kamala? I always felt like it was more Trump was the incumbent because Kamala was the vice president. So, and that's kind of what's coming out now. And then there's the two other keys, which were geopolitical politics and wars. And he gave them one each. And I thought, I don't know. I would say both those, like he gave the positive and negative. Yeah, I think they're both negative. There are two wars happening that weren't happening before. So I think that's what he'll talk about.
I was going to say more than that, even. Only a couple make the headlines because they're so swamped by politics in the United States, right? So, but you and I both, I mean, I will continue to stay fully engaged in politics on a global scale as well as, you know, the hard local. Because of this podcast, frankly. I mean, because you and I having this conversation, you've been very on the mark all the way along here, and likely will continue to do so, George Affleck, all the way through to what will be a very complex federal election that is no doubt coming down the pipe. But before we turn the corner to focus on Canadian politics more specifically, mm-hmm. what do you see happening in the United States? Is it bluster? Was it bro talks, you know, rallying the base to talk about, you know, rounding up migrants and rounding up people who are legally in the United States and putting them into camps and deporting them? Like, are we, what do you think of that? Of all the things, like, you and I will not be hugely impacted by this because we are Canadians. We're, you know, tariffs. Upper middle class. If you look at the global community, we're white people. Like, we're all, I worry about my, you know, LGBTQ2S plus, my people of color, my people in marginalized communities who are now sitting there going, oh, what is going to happen next?
Well, I think a couple of things that occurred to me sort of after the fact, and I don't know why I didn't think of this from a data point of view, but Elon Musk kind of jumped on the wagon a few weeks ago, really hardcore with Trump.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, what impact? That seems like a negative for Trump in a lot of ways. People hate Elon right now for a lot of reasons. But then I realized after he won and Joe Rogan jumped on board. But here's a guy, and by the way, just came out, I saw a tweet that Twitter is now the number one news source in Canada, just so you know, and just or X. But here's the guy who owns X. He has complete access to all the data he wants. He must have known. When we saw those exit polls in the U.S. for how bad Biden was rated at 60% dissatisfaction, right. That is a hard hill to climb for
anybody.
Anybody to win, you know, even in Kamala. So, you know, he knew that because he would have had that kind of data through his access to all this data on X, because all the conversations, whatever data, you know, wanted
sparked
to look at,
it.
He could look at it at any given time. So he knew because of his data that he had access to as an owner of X at that time, that unbelievable, that this was going to be a huge victory. And that's what he said. And he must have been coming from the data. So that was the one thing. And now we have this guy who's the richest man in the world in the Oval Office with the president, along with a couple other billionaires, making the decisions, which is quite a bit different than the last time when Trump won, which was a bunch of, you know, orangutan, you know, crazy people and
ragtag, I think is what you're looking for. Ragtag. There you go, orangutan.
Orangutans.
Yeah, good one, George. You're just trying to make me laugh.
That would be Trump itself.
But did you see the stat about Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and frankly, other billionaires like the Bill Gates, who didn't endorse anybody, but the ones, how much money was made in one day? Like they
through the stock market after
some like $265 billion or like some crazy number.
If you like had Tesla and crypto, you were like living the dream the next morning. Like, so
wild.
So I think that it was interesting. I think what this also was, obviously people are upset with the woke left that, you know, if it had been Bernie Sanders running for the Democrats, or he was, and even no matter what you feel about Bernie Sanders, he was touching on something in 2016 and 2020 that Trump also was touching on, the people, the dissatisfaction with the system. And that's what Sanders is all about. And so I wonder if, you know, if they'd had a candidate like him, the Democrats, a disruptor, how they would have done. People, all the working class people are going, yeah, that's my guy. Because that's who gave Trump the victory here, the working class Americans of all ethnicities and genders. And so, right. You know, the fact to see that every single county, basically, in America, she lost and went below Biden and below Clinton. It was shocking how badly she lost. It's unbelievable. Nobody, I mean, it's just... And I think it's a reset, a lot of politics, perhaps, in America. That's why maybe the keys didn't work. We got, you know, you had FD, and you know, this influence of Trump is 12 years is going to be now. He had 12 years of influence by the end of this term of Trump.
And it can be way beyond that, because with all levels of government going Republican, there are no balances, right? There's no checks and balances. It's just, this is what's happening. We don't even need to talk about it. I'm just going to do this. This is what's happening now. I said so, therefore it will be. And that's like, whoa, okay.
It's crazy.
I wouldn't want any side to have that kind of path. You know, it's interesting to witness. And you know what? This is where we're living. And somebody said to me pre-election night, and it was a young person who basically acknowledged that their entire adult life, because they're in their early 20s or mid 20s, said, I've never known anything but chaos.
And Trump on a ballot, if you live in America, 3 terms now, 12 years.
Right.
So
you know, weird. Kids that were 14 that are now 26 are like, what is happening? Like, you adults cannot. So we'll see how the pendulum swings. But boy, I'm like America said, off the hop. I was super wrong. It is, George. And that's the only thing that brings me calm. It's like, hey, you know what? If this is what you want, so be it. Does talk about the, you know, 105 million Americans who did not registered voters who did not vote. That did not vote.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That did not vote.
I think that was the most surprising. The fact that we thought there was going to be this surge of women, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, the surge of women was there. Just the white women went for Trump.
Yep.
When it got broken down, it was college. white men and white women. And that, you know, speaks to, again, the MSG rally that we all thought was horrifying. Most of us, sorry, I shouldn't say we all, but we definitely talked about it being like, wow, what did we just see there? The you know, the dog whistles and the racism, like the overt, like misogyny. There was just so much of it that was just like, wow, that's awful. And then that actually really worked.
And now we have, I just saw there was a tweet with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. now in charge of healthcare. An anti-vaxxer is in charge of healthcare in America. I mean, his first thing is talking about sugar. I saw him doing a tweet there about sugar. Because I just came back from Spain, and you know, in Spain, they charge you if you want to buy Coca-Cola with sugar in it, you pay extra in Spain. Sure. I think it's all of Europe, maybe.
A sugar tax. We've sugar talked tax. About that a million times in Canada. It's like putting a tax on cigarettes. You put a tax on sugar. But this man also wants to take away the mandatory childhood vaccination to be in a public school situation. That is going to create, just ask any scientists, like, we're going to have a return of measles, mumps, rubella, you know, chicken pox, maybe even smallpox, like polio. We're talking about like diseases that we kick to the curb will now be putting, you know, societies at risk. And you know, talk to any scientist. It's just like, wow, okay.
I wonder how long he'll last, though. Once they reapprove the pipeline to Canada, and then he'll be like, "Hold on, wait a minute. I can't be a part of an administration that starts dismantling all the environmental structure that's been built up for a generation."
Maybe.
How's he
going
to cross that T and dot that I? Robert?
Money.
Yeah.
Well, money.
And power.
Yeah. Power. Drunk with it. But you know what? Again, we go back to it. We're going to keep talking about it here on the podcast. It's really important to do that. We're 13 minutes in. It seems like a proper time to pivot. Do you want to come all the way home to BC, or do you want to start federal politics? Because how does the reaction from Justin Trudeau and who deals better? I saw that move on Twitter as well. Like, who will deal with the Trump administration better, Mark Carney or Pierre Poilievre? Like, somebody like moved Trump or moved Trudeau right out of the conversation. What do you see?
I don't
happening?
Think anybody will be able to handle Trump for Canada. Trump only cares about America. He's already said he's going to dismantle and renegotiate the free trade agreement that he approved in this last term.
Right. USMC, whatever, blah, blah.
Yeah, the tariffs.
It used to be a North America free trade agreement, but we had to change it so the US was first. I remember that.
I saw the tariffs obviously are going to have a huge impact. I saw actually a tweet from an American company, a person that were an American company talking about the tariffs today, saying their boss just told him that he can't give them any Christmas bonuses because he's got to use the cash to buy a bunch of Canadian products that they use to build their products in America before the tariffs come in. Because he can't pay that extra 10% or 15% that it's tariffs. So he's taking all the cash that he has to buy these things in advance. So the staff, all these working class and Canadian Americans are already getting hit by this. But that's going to, I mean, if you sell products into America, you don't get in, you make this assumption like, well, that they're paying it. But of course, what happens is they just reduce their purchasing. So that reduces the volume, yada, yada, yada. So you end up seeing
I got a newbie. I got a brand spanking new one. Came in a box from China. I ordered it from Apple Canada. It came from a box from China. So if everything from China gets a 40% increase, you order from Apple.
Right. I wonder how that would work for Canada. It might create a whole black market for Americans coming up to Canada, purchase things and sneak them across the border, especially things like phones. And
where and when the dollar, you save with the dollar and then you save on the tariffs. And all of a sudden the border guards are less worried about what you're wearing on your feet when you're coming north. It's more about what you got in your pocket when you're going south.
That's right. And what are you driving potentially? Yeah. Right. So, but you know, I think that it's going to be very, very challenging for, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or if it's Trudeau or Poilievre or whoever, it's going to be a tough, tough negotiation with their decision to be focused on, national interest before international. And if I don't know if you saw the tweet from Ukraine's president, but he's like basically 5 minutes after, hey, buddy, it's like,
well, yeah,
it was a great meeting. Trying to say,
I hope, and a lot of people are talking about, perhaps I saw Adam Kinzinger, the former senator who is, the staunch Republican who has been literally campaigning for the Democrats because he thinks Trump is so dangerous, saying, President Biden should immediately support Volodymyr Zelensky in air level attacks to give him a position to even bargain with Putin. I know, which is very scary. But do you think, this is the one more question, do you think President Biden pardons his son?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think I think he's really saying to his son, you should have been that way. I think he's a typical parent. Sorry. you laid your bed. I think you got to lie in it. And that would be, I don't think that would be very tainting his history as a politician in America. I mean, that's pretty important to him, his legacy. And, this will obviously has, an impact on it. It's, it's funny with Trudeau here. I feel like that's the only reason he's hanging on is because of his dad, and his dad did a certain period of time and was in office, and he's just trying to beat him or at least match him. The wrong reasons to be in politics. It's when it's time to go, it's time to go. And 10 years in Canada is about enough. Meanwhile, in BC, will we have an independent government for 10 years? Because I'm so confused right now.
I cannot believe after all of the election, it's rigged. Apparently it's not rigged when your side wins, to all the people in the United States who were really pissed off about the rigging that was definitely happening with the vote counting and whatnot. But BC, here we are in British Columbia in what was the tightest election in, my memory, coming down to just a handful of votes. And then a week after everything's finally decided, it's like, this box.
Oh my God, so bad. Like,
how do we know there are more boxes? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like, what?
I mean, the investigation of this has to be deep, and this has to never happen again. There has to be proof that this won't. There's got to be checks and balances that this doesn't happen again.
But we all believe that there was checks and balances in place, so that this would never happen. The fact that it is happening now makes it just almost impossible to dial it back. It feeds an already ravenous base of people who just have no confidence in government.
Yep. And I don't know what to say. And in fact, we're in limbo still then because of this. We're just waiting now.
Are we, right?
Yeah. So we'll just, do we have a minority? Do we have a majority? What's happening?
Last I heard, it wouldn't change the result of the election, but
wouldn't you be skeptical about that?
I am skeptical. Yeah. I am skeptical about it. I'm almost as skeptical as an orangutan.
Having been a candidate several times and had to deal with a wrath of elections BC for one little expense item that was on my documents for a lunch or something. I can't remember what it was. It was like something, and I gave him multiple pieces of whatever proof, and 2 years they were basically harassing me, my financial agent. It was crazy what they were doing. I'm like, meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yeah,
that takes me to even on taxes, or parking tickets. Like, they'll come for you at a parking ticket, hard, whatever the level or layer of government. So I'm like, you pick your entity. Yeah. If they can come at you, But oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. It's crazy. I think the thing that was like meter parking for volunteers or something. They needed proof. And I said, it's meter parking. I can't. What?
There is no receipt.
They
Sorry
just
about
gave
that
me.
last. Sorry about that last
Like,
statement that I made. It was highly performative. If you want to know what I said, you'll have to go watch us on Unspun on our YouTube channel, because it was just fully just body language. That's where I'm at right now. I landed on my vacation and immediately got a head cold. Thank you for that.
Vacation is key. I think, and we started this podcast and we can kind of wrap it up with this. I think what's important for all of our psychology,
Psyche.
Our psyche, our good health is to let America do its thing and don't watch any of the national newscasts from America for a while, because they're just going to be obsessed with Trump. And it's going to give you anxiety if you are not a Trump supporter. If you love Trump, well, even if you hate Trump, it doesn't matter, because it's going to be all Trump. So it's there. Either you're going to hate the way they're slamming Trump, or you're just going to, if you hate Trump, you're still going to, they're going to be talking to Trump. So it's just all Trump for the next 4 years on those, all those broadcast channels in America. So if you don't want to.
I'm checking all of those boxes. 100%. Yeah. I am. And actually here in on vacation, see that TV over my shoulder right there?
Yeah.
There is no cable.
Off. Oh, really?
So you I got can some, watch Netflix.
You got some old DVDs in that underneath there to plug in, and that's all you got.
I got Netflix. I got Disney. I got Apple TV. I can
I
Ted
think
Lasso all over again and make myself feel better.
That's the way to go. I think, and you know, it's, and guess what, everybody, just tune into Unspun every week. We'll give you what
that's
you need
right.
to know. We'll give you
yeah,
what you
this
need to
week
know.
This week is just sort of a reset. It's like, George, you were very on the money, as close to correct as you could have been on following along. You've always said, I think he might win again. I mean, he might not, but he might. It's too close to call. You've been there, and I've been on the other side going, oh, you're such a conservative.
It was only in the
and
last
you know
2 weeks
what?
where I thought
you were
got it.
Right, and
Yeah.
I was wrong, and I am a passionately empathetic person. I want to take care of the people around me. I worry. I don't have a stake in the game, and I must have blocked every troll, because I'm not getting attacked on social media. I've got friends, particularly women, who are on radio or in the media at some level, and they woke up to full inboxes of vitriol, just unprompted. How about this
Really?
Stuff? And it's like, you know what? Everybody's got to take a step back, take a minute, you know, we got to be there for one another, no matter what your party stripe. And people want to say, Canada's next. It's like, okay. I mean, okay.
You know, the
okay.
best way to avoid watching politics on TV and is to actually become a politician.
Oh, is that right?
Because you're so busy doing the work, you don't have time to get too caught up in the thing. So get
you just
involved.
Watch
If you
us
really
here.
Want to make a difference, stop watching the politics and get involved in politics. Either run for office, whether it be school board, whether it be your strata council, whether it be whatever.
Oh my God.
Get involved,
Strata.
Because if you want to control the future of your life, then you need to get involved. And I train wannabe politicians. And
talk about that.
I have this thing called the Campaign University, thecampaignuniversity.com, where you can learn how to be a politician. It's agnostic. I don't care.
Party lines.
I want good
nonpartisan.
People to run for office, because the good people, you know, the cream rises to the top. We want it, the more good people who run, the more good people will be in office, the more good politics we'll have, and the more we'll have as a nation. So for those kids out there, get involved.
That's a good idea. Not for me. That's our first lunch that we ever had. We sat down and you said, have you thought about running for mayor? I'm like,
anything.
Yeah.
There's a council position available, Jody.
Can you imagine me in a council meeting? I'm way too passionate about these things. I'd be like, why are we wasting our time with this garbage? Let's get to what matters. And everybody else would be like, well, that's not the way it works. And I'd be like, I hate this place.
You sound like you want to drain the swamp. What are you saying?
No, sound like George Affleck. No.
You only do 7 years
I'm glad
of that.
I'm glad to do this with you every single Thursday. Make sure you like and subscribe, comment, share with your friends. If you want to like tap out of the news cycle, we will keep you up to speed on the kitchen table, things that matter to you. And that's our goal, right? To try and bring that nonpartisan sort of vibe to the table. We often disagree, very much learn from each other, and then are always friends. And I appreciate you, George.
And you. Have
and we
a
find,
relaxing week
and we're going
ahead.
To follow each other on that crazy platform that is Twitter @George_ Affleck, George underscore Affleck. I am at Jody Vance. For now, I might have to change my last name. At Jody Vance, Jody with a Y. Oh my God. Yeah, I'll be making dinner reservations. I'll be like, I have a reservation for two for Jody Vance. And they'll be like, what? Secret Service is coming.
Cool. All right. Good luck with that. Bye.